We have a new school superintendent in East Baton Rouge. His name is Lamont Cole. Joins us now in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing all right. You remember when the Chargers moved from San Diego to Los Angeles?
I do.
And
I
for
do.
Like the first season, everybody still called them the San Diego Chargers?
That's right.
If I call you Mayor Pro Tem during this interview,
I don't mind.
It's for the exact same reason.
I don't mind.
Okay.
In all honesty, I still, for a few more days, am the Mayor Pro Tem.
Okay, so I want to talk about that. We'll talk about transitioning and timelines and all that. We're going to get to all that for sure. So technically, I'd still be right if I call you Mayor Pro Tem.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good. Now I can't mess up. rewind the clock on us.
Okay.
Walk us through your timeline of as this process unfolded. It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. Your timeline of when you said, hey, I want to throw my hat in the ring, step aside from the Metro Council, and move over here.
Well, you know, initially, I had no intentions of engaging in the conversation around being superintendent myself.
Mm-hmm.
It is a job that I have always wanted, you know, since entering into education as a professional. But even as a young person in East Baton Rouge Parish Public Schools, I desire to be in leadership around education in some way, shape, form, or fashion, not fully understanding the roles. But I can tell you since 8 years old, I wanted to lead education. Now, having said that, I applied for the job in 2020. I wasn't the choice at the time. And that's okay because, you know, in my heart, I'm an educator. Now, let's get to what happened a couple of weeks ago on that last Thursday when there was no selection made. In all honesty, someone tagged me in a social media post, and the social media post read something to the effect of, what if I were to tell you the right man for the job is not going to get an interview, thus, and so, because of loyalty, thus, and so. And somebody tagged me in that, and so people began speculating he was talking about me. And I don't know if he was or wasn't, but that started a chain reaction of people saying to me, you should consider doing this, you should consider doing it. Well, the following week, I had some conversation with a number of school leaders, a number of system employees who were suggesting to me I should consider perhaps doing it. And I said to them, I'd had no conversations with any board members, didn't know what the process was going to look like going forward. Our state superintendent sent a strong letter to the school system saying he was prepared to exercise his responsibilities and duties outlined in the revised statute. And so those conversations began taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And then the media got wind that the school system may be considering someone. And the name, it was a mystery person, so to speak. And then someone, I forgot which station, put my name up saying it was perhaps going to be me. In all honesty, at that time, I still hadn't really decided whether or not I was going to do it until, I have to be honest with you, when the media put my picture on television and folks started calling me saying, you know, absolutely, you should do it. Folks in the business community, folks who work in the school system, friends and family members started saying, you got to do it. And so it wasn't until then, that night, Tuesday night, I decided, you know, when they outlined the process that they were going to open the application phase back up, look at the applicants, set an interview. And I said to myself, you know what, this is perhaps an opportunity for me to do something that I've always wanted to do. And I figured if given an opportunity to interview, I could convince the board that I was the guy they needed to choose. And so it all worked out like that, you know. Now, a week later, as we stand here, that was a week ago today, I'm wondering to myself, what have I gotten myself into? And that's not for a bad reason at all. It's just, this is a massive responsibility to think about educating the 41,000 plus students who attend our schools. And then to also think about how do we create a system and an environment where all of them can feel safe and learn at high levels at their academic point of need and push them forward so that they have opportunities, options when they graduate from the K-12 experience. So it's a massive opportunity. It's a, you know, almost a $1 billion industry right here in our town. And we have to think about, or I have to think about, how do we manage every aspect of it in order to ensure priority number one, our kids' safety, and then priority number two, their education. And so looking forward to it. feel like I'm the right person to do it and just excited about the opportunity.
We got Mayor Pro Tem Lamont Cole in studio with us, the incoming EBR Schools Superintendent. So when would you say you fully made up your mind that this was the path you were going to take?
I have a friend who works at one of the news stations, and she called me off the record, mm-hmm. and we were having a conversation. I had spoken to my wife, and she and I had a very in-depth conversation, and she said, whatever you decide, I'm with you. I think you'd be a great superintendent. And then when my friend called, and she and I were having a conversation, and to be honest with you, she was trying to convince me to get an exclusive story so she could break it first. Mm-hmm. But she was saying to me what folks in the newsroom were saying about me as an individual and their experience with me. And I thought to myself, you know, it's nice to hear that from someone who's not connected to education in that way. And so I said to her, you know what, let's go on the record. And so we went on the record and I told her, I said, I'm in. I'm going to do it. So it's a one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 24 hours. We'll know this time tomorrow night whether or not I've done well enough to be selected. And so I got in. So it literally was my decision was made literally about 24 hours prior to.
Okay. So it was, I guess it would be a Sunday night or Monday night?
It was a Tuesday night. The interview was Wednesday.
Okay.
Last Wednesday. Yeah.
A lot has gone down since then. I mean, yeah, once you had absolutely. All the meeting and everything. So I'm trying to remember the timeline exactly. So it was Tuesday night. That you fully had made up your mind,
100%.
Thrown your hat in the ring.
Yeah.
All right.
Had been thinking about it since the previous Friday when that post went on social media.
Okay.
Had been thinking about it based on all the phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, that the special school board meeting was Monday. They outlined the process.
Right. They opened up applications on That's Tuesday, right. closed applications noon Wednesday.
That's right.
And then did the interviews.
Wednesday
and
afternoon.
Then, yep. To look at the length of the process to get from point A to the finish line with all the different points that were in between, to look at the length of the process, that's remarkably quick turnaround from your end.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you didn't have to go through the first 15 rounds of fighting. It was right place, right time.
Sometimes things work out exactly how they're supposed to, no matter the process.
All right, before we get to the schools, sure. and I want to talk about your 100-point plan mm-hmm. A little bit, but before we get to that, I want to close business on the Metro Council here. Okay. What does that look like transitioning to somebody else? Who's taking your spot as Mayor Pro Tem, and what's going to happen in your spot on the ballot?
So right now, I'm working with Ashley Beck to talk about timeline. Okay. I like to transition sooner rather than later. I like to give 100% of my attention to East Baton Rouge Parish Public Schools because it needs.
It's a week from today, I believe, is the first day. Today
a
or
week
tomorrow?
From tomorrow. Yeah, August 8th. Teachers come back Monday and kids come back on Thursday. But so I'm trying to work out the details of when I need to inform the Secretary of State of my resignation, what that looks like, because ultimately the council has 20 days from the day I resign, from the day my resignation is official, to appoint someone.
Mm-hmm.
So the council will make an appointment based on applicants who live in the district. Right now, however, there are two individuals who have qualified to run for the seat.
Yeah.
And so of the two individuals, I have worked with one. Now, I have to be very careful in my new role to endorse any particular candidate.
Right, right.
But I will say that one of the individuals I've worked with for the previous 9 years as my legislative assistant, and mm-hmm. she has qualified to run for the seat. And then the other gentleman is a gentleman I know from the area who has also done so. So those two are going to be the two names on the ballot. And then I'm certain she's perhaps going to apply to be appointed to the seat when I resign from the seat. So we'll see if the
for
Metro
the interim
Council,
leading up to for the interim. Election day.
And we'll see if the Metro Council sees fit to appoint her.
I don't want to harp on this for too long because I sure. do want to get to your role as superintendent, but the Tuesday that you formally threw your hat in the ring, it was the previous Friday when qualifying closed.
Absolutely.
She got on the ballot to run against you?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, she did, yes. You know, in all honesty, when again, remember, Friday is when the post was made.
Yeah.
Which is also, I had already qualified.
Yes.
And so she and I were in some deep conversation about, are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? And I said to her, I'm not sure. I don't know yet. And she said, well, what happens to this seat if you do it? I said, well, I'm going to qualify to do it for sure. I've already qualified. I qualified on day one.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, but what's going to happen? Can you do both? I said, well, I don't know. And she said, there's too much left to chance. And so before I knew it.
Fair.
You know what I mean? Yeah. She was like that. You know, in our conversation, she was saying to me, it's too much left to chance. You know, if you decide to pursue the superintendent job and you get it, are you going to be able to do both? And I said to her, oh, I couldn't do both.
No, I don't think legally you could.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's some different legal minds who say I could have, or perhaps that I need to give 100% of my time to the superintendent job. But in all honesty, I wouldn't want to do both.
Neither constituency would be in favor of that.
Exactly. And I wouldn't be in favor of it. You know, I think a job like this requires all of my time. And plus, my time, my family's time, my friends, I'm calling on everyone to assist in doing this work. Even you, Brian. So there's a lot to do. And we need everybody pitching in.
You know, I dial in on education on this show. I have Dr. Brumley on monthly. I would like to have you on as regularly as humanly possible. That being said, we've only got 4 minutes left in the segment. Sure. So let's talk real quick. 100-point plan. What went into your first real effort into saying where the schools need to go?
Well, when you think about the 100-day plan, it's really about an evaluation of all systems in the school system, right? System processes, individuals, schools, people, and really trying to understand where our students are performing academically, and then how do we help them get better? And so that's really what the plan outlines to do. You know, I talked to some former superintendents who've done this early on and got ideas from them and suggestions from them. And what I've learned from around the country, most superintendents going into a school system do pretty much the same thing. They go in and do an evaluation and then make adjustments along the way. So it's not as if, though, we're going to wait 100 days and then make some adjustments. Mm-mm. As we identify challenges or we identify weaknesses or areas that could be changed and made better, we're going to make the adjustments along the way. At the end of the 100-day, I want to say, here are all the things I've done outlined in the plan, which is to visit every department. We begin that process on Monday, which is to visit every school. Mm-hmm. We've already started visiting schools, but I want to do that while the students are in school, visit with principals, visit with teachers, listen to parent groups, listen to stakeholder groups, every aspect of education that people are concerned about, I want to engage in conversation around it. This is part of the 100-day plan.
Right.
Going on local news shows and radio shows, talking about it and asking people to participate and help. And then as we get to 100 days, give a report and say, here are the findings along the way. Here are the adjustments we've made as a result of the findings. And then here are the things we plan to do to close out the school year. And then as we enter into year two, hopefully the adjustments we make will yield positive results. And then as we yield those positive results, we want to build on those going forward.
So, and one of the positive notes there is that while we may have needed a changing of the guard, a changing of the path is not necessarily the same thing. Our LEAP scores did go up a little bit in
little
Baton Rouge. A little bit. To see, you know, a break in the clouds, if you will.
Right.
So with that in mind, how much of your next 100 days, and I apologize, I said 100-point plan, I'm in a 100-day plan. How much of your next 100 days involves going through everything that Dr. Narcisse did with a fine-tooth comb to say, okay, he wasn't wrong every day?
Oh, no. I think Dr. Narcisse did some phenomenal work. He did some really good things while he was here. And I'm of the opinion, and, you know, I've been in leadership a long time. If it's not broken, we're not going to try to fix it. Right. You know, what we're going to do is identify those systems, processes, procedures that are working really well, and we're not going to touch those in a way to change them. We may enhance, expand, on what's working well. Mm-hmm. Those things that are not working so well or need to work better, we're going to address those. And then where we find things are just not working at all, we're going to shut down, reshift, refocus, rebuild, and do something different. You know, so I'm not afraid. This is very serious work to me in terms of addressing the needs of our students educationally, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody has a different perspective on what that looks like from time to time. And then you have people who want what they want. Right. You know, you have family members who want what they want, parents who want what they want, support staff who want what they want. But the reality of the situation is you got to give to get. Right. So some people are going to have to give up some things. Some of us are going to have to give a lot. I'm going to have to give a whole lot in order to meet the needs of the students. And so if we allow the data to drive our decision making, mm-hmm. if we put data first, let's look at what we're doing, how we're doing, and then allow data to drive the decision. And agree to allow the data to drive the decision, then we must all live with the decision that is made as long as the data around student achievement is driving the decision. And when I say data around student achievement, I'm talking about safety, academic performance, social well-being, every aspect of addressing the entire experience for a student. We have to be allowing the data to drive our decision-making.
Last one before we get you out of here, and I know we're running long on air. We already missed ABC News. last one before I get you out of here. I don't care if you're Superman. Without parental buy-in, this goes nowhere. How heavy is the effort and the push going to be on that front?
Well, the effort for parental buy-in is going to be priority number three. We have to make sure that we're listening to parents to understand what their concerns are, what their desires are, and then where they best feel they can serve. You know, oftentimes we think of parental buy-in and parental support as an old school PTA, right? Parents being actively involved at schools. Times have changed in terms of what that looks like. And so sometimes we have to think about how we engage parents and then how we listen to the ways they want to support. So it's a two-way conversation. I want to share my vision with parents, and I want to hear from them how they feel they can support. But most importantly, I want to hear from them about their challenges, their concerns, and
that's
how we
where
can
I'm
address
at.
Them.
I'm more interested in a parents buy-in on math and ELA than I am on the parents buy-in on the bureaucratic end.
I understand.
All right. So when you move out of the mayor pro tem role, let's get you back on for a quick check-in.
Absolutely. Look forward, and I want to thank you for always being supportive and allowing me an opportunity to share a few words.
Of course.